And for most people, mention of climate change generally conjures up images of animals suffering, polar bears swimming through oceans searching for ice. But as it is all too easy to forget, climate change impacts more than just animals around us and the environment. It can also have a disastrous effect on human health much more directly. I'm joined now by Dr. Ying Zheng, Associate Director of Teaching and Learning at the Sydney School of Public Health, to discover exactly what the health consequences of climate change are. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for inviting me to talk about climate change and health, which is my career focus for the past 13 years already.
Absolutely. So how does climate change directly affect the health of Australians?
Climate change is regarded as the biggest threat to public health in this century. It can affect human health in many ways, including and directly from extreme weather events such as heat waves, floods, and bushfires in Australia, and indirectly, where the changes in patterns of disease, more nutrition, and effects of mental health. In Australia, for example, heat wave kills more people than any other natural disasters.
Mm-hmm.
Our research actually reported that the 2009 extreme heat wave caused 14 times increase in direct heat-related hospital admission in Adelaide.
Right. And so is this something that people are generally aware of, or is it something that's not really well understood?
We call that a silent killer, because mm-hmm. most of the deaths and hospitals are not recognized until later after the event.
Right. And so you mentioned disease as an indirect killer. What sort of diseases or patterns of disease are changing thanks to climate change?
There are some infectious diseases, and also non-communicable diseases are affected by climate change. For example, the Ross-Rivirus infection, which is the most common mosquito-borne disease in Australia. This summer, in New South Wales and Victoria, the number of Ross-Rivirus infection increased dramatically because of the spring flood last year.
Mm-hmm.
And also dengue fever, another mosquito-borne disease in Australia, and also some foodborne and waterborne disease like salmonella and campylobacteria infection, which is also affected by climate change, particularly increasing temperature.
And are there regions that are more affected than others, or is it sort of going to be Australia-wide?
Yes, climate change is a global issue, but both exposures and impacts vary greatly across country and regions. For example, in Australia, the coastal regions may be more vulnerable to sea level rising, the consequences of that, and some rural regions could be at a higher risk of bushfires or mosquito-borne diseases, as we just discussed. And some urban regions may experience more vulnerability due to heat island effect, where heat is generated from all the people, cars, trains in the big cities.
And so what can Australian communities do to increase their resilience in the face of this, in the absence of, I guess, you know, stopping climate change somehow?
I don't think we can stop climate change at the moment. But we can do something in responding to that. And the main two strategies are mitigation and adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
Mitigation is to reduce the carbon emission, and adaptation is to better adapt to the consequences that we are facing. So in order to increase community resilience, we can either reduce the carbon emission or have some strategies for better adaptation. So by saying that, we should probably more recognize the associated health risks, identify the vulnerable populations, and check on them when extreme weather events are predicted, which needs collaborative responses across all sectors. And we also need to train doctors and health professionals to be aware of this kind of health risks and to provide sufficient health care service for those who are vulnerable.
So it's more of the adaptation side of it is much more manageable by individuals.
Both sides can be, individuals can make contributions to both mitigation and adaptation by changing their behaviors and by providing more community support. And the good news is that most of the adverse health outcomes are preventable. We should also recognize the opportunities, such as the co-benefits in responding to climate change. For example, we have more green spaces in urban planning and better public transportation could not only reduce carbon emission, but also bring benefit to our own health.
Mm. And so what's the role of the government in all this in the sense of helping communities cope with climate change?
You mean what the government is doing?
Yeah, well, what should the government be doing, or what are they doing?
I think the government should take a leader role in responding to climate change, particularly in developing some strategies for mitigation adaptation. Unfortunately, Australia is still one of the top carbon emitters per capita in the world, and the carbon emission is still increasing over the last 4 or 5 years. And compared with some developing countries, Australians should, I think, contribute to the international commitments to reduce carbon emission. And they should actually develop a more consistent and national frameworks and strategies that we can have this collective efforts in taking action on climate change in an urgent manner.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ian, for joining us this morning on the program.
It's my pleasure.